So we've had this issue in my family for some years. We have a bunch of girls and giggly girls. And we have certain ones, once they start giggling, forget about it. And that doesn't go away when they're almost, I wasn't going to say. When they're yet less, it didn't end as teenagers. So, amen. Amen. Let's find a hymnal. Turn over to number 167. 167. Let's all stand together. 167. Honestly, I feel like it took till almost today to recover from camp. And I'm a little bit afraid I watched this video and I'm going to relapse. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look into, going to show the video and see some of our, see what we experienced. Amen. So look forward to that.
Thank you.
So we had a lot of fun. Yeah. Amen. There was no preaching on any of that. We were too busy watching preaching. What's that? There was some. Yeah, I guess there was some. There was a little bit. It was a it was a lot of fun and wear you out, but what a blessing. And so next year, come back, get ready early, and bring more friends with you. Last year we went from, I think between both teen camp and junior camp, we had 4. This year we had about 11, right? So next year, that means about 20. That's pastor math, right? Yes. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and have y'all be dismissed back there. Amen. Amen. I got to show them how to slide on a water slide because, you know, I didn't really do all the other things. Not all the other, you know, but I did get an opportunity to go jump. I did it both weeks, too, by the way. I said, they were talking about that was a baseball, it was kickball, and then at the end you kind of run and slide. And then I said, do you need somebody to demonstrate it? He said, yeah. So I did, you know. So I did about 4 times. It's necessary. But I had soap suds in my shoes for a couple days. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. We had a good time. And, amen. So those videos will be on the Facebook page tonight. So if anybody wants to get those and share them, and share them from our Facebook page, and it draws people, especially local people, to it. So that's always a good thing. Amen. All right, let's have Brother Ed come on ahead to prayers tonight.
That was a blessing. I mean, just to see the excitement there. And after long days like that, I'm sure they wore out at the end of the night. It's blessed to be here. We had a wonderful trip. Thank you for everyone praying. No incidents driving. We went all the way up the East Coast this side, went out to Niagara Falls, and came back down and got to see family, my sister along the way, my mom and dad, they are doing great. My dad took a role, and he basically is the town of Andes where they live. He's the prayer warrior now for everybody who has issues, whatnot. He sits at home, and that's all he does is sit in his chair and goes through and watches. He's Roman Catholic, been that way his whole life, but when I ask him about the Lord Jesus Christ, he will basically say he is the King of Kings. So don't know where he stands on that. But with that said, he's been praying for a whole lot of people and things are happening. So more people are calling him to pray. So, and we've been praying for him, and he thanks everyone for especially what he went through with his heart, doing great, put on weight. My brother can't contain him. They have to take the keys away from him so he ain't driving. But my dad and mom both said thank you for all the prayers of what they've been going through. Got to see Sam and Casey, Olivia for her second birthday. That was wonderful. And so getting into the prayers that are on the pamphlet, if you have your prayer list here, obviously we just seen the video of the camp, 2 weeks of camp. A lot of decisions probably made, but it was a blessing to see the answers of our prayers, praying for them, that they had a good time and everybody's safe, no injuries. So that is a plus. Spiritual needs, we have the list there that we continue to pray for. Again, all of us have family members that probably need to come to the Lord, so continue under the spiritual needs. Lift up one another's families so that the Lord can reach down and touch the heart of someone who doesn't know him. Obviously, the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish. So, again, pray for one another's families on the spiritual needs. And then physical, we have Miss Liz. Again, just health issues and pain that she's going through. And Mary M., Cheryl's friend. Do you have any update on that, Cheryl?
I heard that
Oh, wow. So, see? Got to keep praying. And then also, Cheryl has a request for Melinda. And
she has a brain tumor, brain mass, and since April till now, it's grown significantly. So we're waiting. They're sending off the MRI and all that kind of stuff to be read by a certain doctor. So just pray.
Pray that the Lord puts his healing hand on her and she's no issues. And then also, if you're familiar with Cass and Josh, Haley and Hudson, they're looking for housing. So just pray that the Lord will put them in the right place where they need to be. And then we have Brother Bob traveling back on the 31st, and then upcoming start of the new school year for the Heritage Academy. Let's keep that in prayer, that the Lord would just give us what we need to start this second year, and that everything goes accordingly, and that the Lord blesses the new students of the second year. Then we have the Creation Conference, August 9th through the 12th, coming up. So again, if you know anybody who has questions, it's a good time to invite them in. Certainly the time that they put into giving answers biblically is certainly a blessing. And I'm sure that even us who go through the Bible are always going to learn something new. I mean, you get into the Bible, every day you read it, there's always something new you come across, and it's like, why did I not see that last time I read it? But that's what happens. And the time that they put into giving a correct answer to the world, because they have their views, and then God has his truth, and that's the word of God. So pray that we can get visitors to come in during that conference time. And then we're also, for the missionaries of the week, we have the Brinkley family to Scotland, and also keep in prayer the Sri Lanka Bible study and the translation project that's going on with that. So with that, I will ask if anybody has a request. Okay, and I'm going to pass it over. Oh, Eddie. Okay.
So he scheduled an MRI, or he wants them to schedule an MRI, so I don't have that date yet, but it's something that she's kind of been going through for several months, so
okay.
I'll keep you updated on that.
Okay, and that was for Leah with an MRI.
How old is she? She will be, I think she's two.
Okay. Anyone else? If not, I'm going to turn it over to Brother John. The Lord will answer. And if that's it, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. We're doing a little different tonight.
I do want to say a couple other things about the prayers. If you bring something at night, like here, it's for here tonight. If you'll fill out a slip, put in the back, it'll be as a permanent record. I mean, not really, but it gets onto the list. And so if you fill those out, those that said those things and those that didn't have those, if you put them on there, and then several other things I was going to say, but they've all eluded me, so I probably didn't need to say them. Amen. the good to have Ed and Mary back. Amen. Good to see them back going gallivanting around the country, right? And everybody's taking turns. We have Brother Bob's going to be traveling again here in a couple weeks. We're going to be going over to Orlando. There's a conference over there. It's actually a young adults conference. We don't really know. We're going to just found out about it, so we're going to check that out. And then maybe we'll do more with it next year. And then my family, a couple of girls, are going to be going to a conference next week, further away, up in New Jersey. We're going to be up in New Jersey. And so Brother Eddie will be preaching next Wednesday, so look forward to that. And y'all be praying for that. I'm going to lead in prayer tonight, and then we'll get into the Bible study. Can you switch me over here? Hey, there we go. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, thankful for your watch care, and Lord, you care for us so much more than we even care one for another. Lord, we bring our requests. Lord, we put these names on there. We share our burdens, and yet, Lord, we know that you already know these things, and so we don't tell you to remind you, Lord. We pray because you've asked us to. And Lord, we want to be obedient and bring these burdens to you. And Lord, we could sometimes wonder and question if our bringing prayer and our praying is actually changes you. And yet, Lord, we find throughout the Scripture that is exactly what has happened, is those that come and intercede for one another really do seem to make a great difference. It availeth much, even says in the book of James. And so, Lord, I pray for these things tonight. Lord, we don't always know your will on these things and what you're trying to accomplish. And Lord, we don't want to pretend to know more than what you've told us. But yet, Lord, when trials come into our lives, Lord, we and those that we love, we do understand that sometimes, Lord, you bring these things into our life to help us to see you, that we might turn our hearts and our minds to you. And so, Lord, these that are facing physical ailments, Lord, sometimes, Lord, think about this little girl, and certainly that's undoubtedly it's not necessarily just for her, but maybe it's for this family. And Lord, whatever the case is, maybe it is for her to see your hand upon her life. And Lord, we don't know, Lord, but I pray that you'd accomplish your will, pray that you'd give good healing, and that Lord, this young lady would have a testimony about what you've done in her life, and that made the difference in her, Lord. And I pray that you'd bless there. And think about Melinda tonight, Lord. I pray that you would, Lord, do what's needed in her life, Lord. This may be a small thing, it may be huge, Lord. We don't know which direction this will go, but Lord, we know that you do, and Lord, we put our hope and our trust in you, and Lord, that you would accomplish with it what you've allowed it to come into our life for. Lord, we do pray for Melinda. Lord, pray that you bless and help and encourage and direct her in that way. And Lord, pray for those that will be traveling and the travel mercies. Lord, thank you for what we got to see here with camp and the those that got to participate. And Lord, I pray that you would let those messages that each of our both the teens and the juniors and as well as the adults, Lord, those messages that we heard, Lord, I pray that it would that we'd continue to meditate upon those things. You'd bring it to our remembrance, and Lord, that it would affect us and draw us closer to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless those that put it together and labored much for it. Lord, give you thanks for them, and we pray that you'd bless them in their ministries for that way. And then, Lord, even coming up here next week, a youth rally, not a rally, but a youth activity here at church. Lord, I pray that you'd bless that. Lord, would you use that time and give these give these kids the opportunity to be here and use them. And then, Lord, for all the events coming up, and I want to pray for the Creation Conference coming up here next month, Lord, that I know all can't come during the day on Monday and Tuesday, but Lord, I pray that you'd give some occasion that we would have a good presence here, and that it would be a good time together. And Lord, I pray that you would help us with some understanding of your word and the things that was already mentioned in the video on Sunday, that you, really those chapters, Genesis 1 through 11, and Lord, all the things that are contained there. Lord, pray that it would really give us that foundation, Lord, that we might have an answer of the hope that's within us. And Lord, pray that you would bless tonight. Lord, we need your hand upon all that's being done. Lord, thank you for the good crowd of the kids club and all those that are there in their red, and then as well for the teens that are back there, and then just for the good group out here tonight. Lord, thank you that you've given us a body of believers that gather together, and Lord, that we might, Lord, we might minister one to another. We might receive from your word that which would stir our hearts. Lord, we'll give you thanks for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs. Hey, Proverbs chapter 3. We are moving right along. We've got all the way to chapter 3. Now, we've jumped around a little bit, but I'm kind of going back a little bit and covering some of the things that I really missed. There's going to be a little overlap. I wasn't planning on spending my whole ministry in the book of Proverbs when I started. I was just like, I thought it's practical. We got 30 minutes, and I'm trying to keep it within 30 minutes. That's hard for a Baptist preacher. You understand? And so I've got a lot more to ramble on about. So when I started, I was just kind of jumping. I'm like just reading myself and like, oh, there's just kind of jumped out of me. But I want to go back and try to cover all those verses. Amen. Think we can do that? Well, we'll do it until Jesus comes. Amen. If he comes back before I get done, I'm going to be okay with it. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 3, look there. Let me get there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, I've just said all that I just said, and you're going to say, oh, man, that means we're really going to be trucking through the verses. No. I can't change our style. Amen. There's only two verses we're going to cover tonight. So when I said we're going to get through them, doesn't mean I'm going to speed through it. All right. And I know y'all don't want me to do that, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. But I had one amen and one head nod. The rest of you are like, whatever. Number one, we must choose to let God's word direct our lives. Guide would have worked. I think that's okay. I just stuck with direct. I kind of think about direct when I think the difference between guide is kind of like somebody standing over to the side. When I think of direct, it's God is giving really what we see here, command. He's given laws and commands, and so we kind of find that. So we must do what? Choose. We have to choose. We have to choose to let God's word direct our life. It's not something, look here, everyone is directed by something, okay? Everyone is directed by something, right? What you choose to direct your life is everyone is going to let some is going to choose to let something direct their life. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. It's down here, but number one, Solomon begins here in chapter 3 with inviting his son to make a choice. He's inviting his son, and this is kind of what we see. And so, this is not simply about information contained in the law. When he says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It's not simply about, don't forget my law, right? Don't forget it. Don't, whatever you do, don't forget about that. B, it must be decided what will govern
the course of our life. Okay, we've got to make this decision. And this is really what Solomon is getting after. Here's the thing I was going to say here. Number two, some people are directed by their emotions, right? You say, well, what does that look like? Well, it looks kind of like this. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that thing? Well, because I feel like it, right? Well, you didn't do it like that before. Well, I didn't feel like it then, but now I feel like it. Could you imagine letting your emotions direct your life? A lot of people, by the way, somebody can't say, so I just can't help it. I get angry and I do things. Come on. You ever gotten angry? Just me? Yeah, okay. You got angry? You ever got angry and you're angry and you said, you know what? I'm not going to say that thing. You ever done that? Yeah. Right? You know what? Chris is like, I've heard about that. But here's what it is. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. So we can actually, emotions can, you know, say, are you saying, Pastor, we should never be angry? Man, I wish I could say that. I don't think that's what God tells us to do. Never get in your emotions, right? Never get mad, never get scared, never get afraid, never get worried, come on. That happens to us, but the difference is this, is I'm not going to be directed by that. But a lot of people are. But you know what they did? They chose to be directed by it. And you say, well, I don't know. It just happened, right? Well, it's kind of like this. If I share the gospel with somebody, right, and I'm sharing the gospel with them, and I say, would you like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today? And they say, no, I'm not really ready. Okay. Did they choose not to? Absolutely they did. So the right choice was before them, and so they chose not to. So we can't, when our emotions get flared up, whatever it is, sad, glad, mad, bad, whatever kind of emotion it is, sometimes we'll get happy and we'll do stupid stuff because we're happy. So it's not just bad emotions, right? I got so excited that, fill in the blank, something, you're like, why would you do that? Emotion took over. And so this choice is to say, well, I couldn't control it. No, there was a choice. By the way, choices are usually made ahead of time. This is not an emergency situation. This isn't, there's a fire. Now Solomon's telling his son, okay, now here's how to get out of the fire. No, this is making a choice ahead of time. So what Solomon's doing, okay, not only that. So some people are directed by their emotions, others by experience, right? We'd say something like this. Well, this is the way we always do it. Or this is the way my parents taught me to do it. Never, ever, and I taught my kids this, don't go telling people what my dad says. If you don't believe it, don't say it, right? Or, yes, my dad says I agree with it, but you don't know why. You got to find out why before you start telling other people, because you might find out that you missed a part of it. That's happened. Well, my dad always says, well, your dad learns things too, right? That'll catch you in a pickle. All of a sudden, you're like, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, I had one of my children come and say, well, I told somebody this. And I said, well, why'd you tell them? What verses did you give? Well, it was Keen. And I said, well, what verses did you give? She said, I told her what you always told me. I said, what did I always tell you? She's like all of a sudden, realize I told something, we can kind of, sometimes we teach our kids something that maybe is more as a parent, and then you go down the road. So listen, it's not experience. I have heard people that are in their 70s and 80s and still talking about, well, my mom and dad always taught me. Come on. When are you going to own it? Right? You know what I'm saying? We got to own it. And if we don't own it, don't teach it. Don't tell it. And so, but some people are directed by experience, not by the book, not by truth, but by experience. And then others are by their culture. Well, that's how we do it here. I've had that every place I've been. In Louisiana, could you imagine some of the things they did by culture? Right? Everywhere I've been. Well, that's just the way Texans do it, right? You don't follow that. That'll get you in trouble right there. And then you don't want to be the Florida man, right? Come on, don't let culture. But some people are directed by that. Well, that's just going to, no, listen. There is a choice here. Solomon places another option before his son, and that's what's happening here. A, will God's word become the authority that governs his heart? And this is what he's really getting to, is will you let the word of God, let the word of God become the authority that directs you? Okay, for us sitting here tonight, we're like, duh, right? Obviously we would say we believe that. Right? That's a tough question, though, honestly, to say, does this book, you know what you have to do to make the choice to let this word of God be the authority in your life? You got to first, what? Well, you got to know it. Yeah. Yeah. You got to know it. You can't, well, yeah, I follow the word of God. Well, which part? Just the whole thing. I've had people say silly stuff like that. And then you ask them a little bit about, they really don't know God, don't know his word, and they're saying this, but it's really kind of from a place of really experience. You know, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's what I always believe. Why do you believe it? Well, that's just, it's in the Bible, right? But we say stuff like that, and I'm not necessarily mean we do, but passing on wisdom. We're getting it and passing it. If we already got it, then pass it. Okay? So either way, wherever we're at with here. Okay. B, forget not my law is what he says there. My son, forget not my law. And then the command, listen, this command about forget not my law is more than remembering facts. He doesn't say, hey, don't forget. Okay, there's number one, right? What's number one? Thou shalt. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? Number two, thou shalt not make any engraven images. Number two, it looks like a two. A two looks like a snake, right? Don't put, so what you got to do is you got to remember these. What's number three? Thou shalt not, use the Lord's name in vain, right? In number three, you see a three, kind of looks like lips, right? Saying something. So really what this is about, I want to give you a tool how you can remember the Ten Commandments. No, that's not. This isn't about remembering facts. God says, don't forget those. Let's write them. Write them up on the courthouse. I think it's a good place to put them on the courthouse, right? I think it's a good place. And I'm not saying don't remember it, but that's not what this is really talking about. Number one, it is possible to know. Sorry, you went the other way. I kind of bait and trapped you there. It's possible to know what God has said while living as though it carries little weight. Right? You can know the things, but then live like it means nothing. Right? You've seen that. We've done that. Right? Corporate we, right? Sometimes it's the individual we. We found this thing and there's something there. We've said, hey, listen, no, I believe that, and we know it and we believe, we'd even teach it. But then we live like it has little weight. So it's not just about, trying to remember the law. Listen, in Proverbs, forgetting often describes neglect rather than a failure of memory. Okay, when he says forget, he doesn't mean, you got to remember, I was supposed to memorize that. I had the first four memorized, I forgot the fifth one, right? Thou shalt not. Oh, that's six. Sorry. Yeah, five. Yeah, it's a house that's on the father. It's, well, it's a house that's divided. Yeah. There's a whole drawing thing with all that. Mike, it's been a while. So you say, well, I remember those others. I forgot that one. If I forget it, I'm not ever going to be able to do it. Right? I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that, right? That's not what forget means. Forget really in this sense is to neglect it. Like, I know I should tell the truth. But when I get to this opportunity, they said, hey, is there six or five apples in the bag? Five? Right? And you're like, oh, man, I forgot. No, it's not about, I forgot I was supposed to tell the truth. I forgot I wasn't supposed to steal another apple. Come on. No, it's really about this neglecting to let the word of God be our authority. And so, number two, Solomon is warning his son not to allow God's instruction to fade from practical importance. So here's what he's saying. He said, when he's talking about not to forget, when he says, forget not my law, he's not saying, you know, don't, you need to memorize it and learn it and make sure you know it. He's not talking about hiding God's word in his heart in that sense. What he's talking about, don't let it fade from being a practical thing. Right? Don't let it fade from being something that we actually live out. Well, no, I believe that. Well, this is the challenge. This was the challenge for Solomon that he wanted to get to his son. This ought to be what we focus on. Parents, anybody that's going to deal with kids, right? Which is like anybody that's going to be around church, right? There's kids running around here all the time. Amen? You say, well, I just, you know, we believe that stuff, but, you know, sometimes I've been in church and people say things that are a little saucy. You know what I mean? You're like, you know what I'm saying? They'll say something or they'll say, well, you should just tell them. And they'll say something like this and they'll kind of give it a little bit. He said, listen, what we ought to do is try to help anybody with this thing, what Solomon's given to his son, what we ought to pass on, is that this isn't something that we just believe. It's something we make a choice to live out. Right? We make, this is what he's saying. This is the invitation to forget not my law. Don't neglect it. It's really this thing here. Okay. See, let thine heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. So this really right here is the heart of this verse, of verse 1. Number 1, the heart is not merely the emotions. Okay? The heart is not just emotions. We think about that. We think about, you know, I just wear my heart on my sleeve, right? We think about that with our emotions. Number 2, in Scripture, it is the inner man, the place from which decisions, desires, and purposes flow. So when we see heart in the Bible, it's not just talking about, you know, I believe with all my heart. It's not talking about this, right, this muscle that pushes blood through my body. It doesn't mean just my emotions. It's really it's me. It's really the me that's me, right? What I think about, the decisions I make. It's my purposes and my desires and all this thing comes. And so what he's dealing with and what he's trying to get to is this thing is, he said, let thine heart keep my commandments. So the heart, here's the thing. The heart will not naturally follow God's commandments. I just woke up and I just want to do whatever God wanted me to do, right? Except for I didn't say that, I actually did it. That doesn't happen. It's not a natural outflow of human nature. Ever since Eve messed it up for all of us, and Adam didn't do anything about it, right? And he agreed and joined in on that thing. Ever since then, it's not natural for us to just follow that, and just to follow God's commandments. So, A, the choice is to let. or what's the word? Allow. That's it. We just talked about that in Sunday school. Men do a lot of things on Sunday school. We cover a lot of stuff. And I'm sure the ladies do too. You just don't get to be up here talking about it all the time. The choice is to let or allow his heart to follow. That's what he's telling his son to do. B, there is a conscious surrender involved. This is what it's talking about. When he says there, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Surrender to that. See, we choose whether God's word will be allowed to direct our thinking, shape our desires, and direct our decisions. We make the choice. Isn't that awesome? You get to make that choice. Okay. It is awesome you get to make that choice. Nobody's forcing you. God doesn't have, an open pit going into hell, right? If you don't do what I say, you're going in. I'm putting you in there, right? You ever hear parents threaten timeout? I just hate that. It's one of the worst things. Don't make me put you in timeout. When I was a kid, it was put you in the corner. But it really is about the same thing. Don't make me do that. You know, it's just like this threat. Can you imagine God just say, you better do what I say or I'm putting you in hell? I mean, could you imagine? If God, that'd be such a weird concept, wouldn't it? And so, you know, God says, listen, what he does is gives us the choice to follow him. We get the choice. And here's the thing. When we do follow him, when we do let his word be the direction of our life, here's the amazing thing with that. We get the credit for it. I mean, God rewards us for that. You hear what I'm saying? God rewards us. He said, how does he reward us? A lot of different ways. He blesses us in many different ways and different things. And there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm telling you, what God does is now, if God is dragging us along, I'm going to tell you, there ain't no credit for that. You know, I got my kids by the hand going through the grocery store, and I'm just, you know, because if I slow down, they're going to grab stuff off the shelf, right? And I pull them through, and I get to the end, we go outside the car, and we're like, you did a good job in there. No, I don't do you did a good job in there. You're like, Daddy wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't do that. Anyway, but here's the thing. God doesn't work that way. God gives us, that's what I'm saying, what a blessing that God gives us the choice to choose to let his word be the authority in our life and in our heart. And so when we do that, God gives us the opportunity to be rewarded by him. What an amazing thing. Okay, number two, Roman numeral two. God's way leads to God's blessings. Yes, God's blessing. Look at verse number two. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Man, I love this part. I love how he puts it. Hey, Solomon immediately encourages obedience. So, listen, this is the thing that he does. He tells him, okay, here's what I want you. Then he immediately, after he says what I want you to do, I want to give you a choice to do it. And then he immediately encourages obedience with there's some reward. Number one, God's commandments are not burdensome restrictions. I have to go to church. I didn't allow my family to say that. I'd always say, you may be thinking the same thing. It is about semantics a little bit. It's about, we get to go to church. Or just, we're going to church, but not I have to. Don't tell somebody, yeah, I have to go. No, I can't do that. I have to go to church. Well, you know what I mean? It's not that I don't want to. Change how we say things. I think it makes a difference. And I think, maybe it's a little semantics, but it begins to be something. Listen, and I think what Solomon's trying to get across, God's commands aren't burdensome. I mean, imagine God saying, hey, watch out. There's a pit there. If you step in it, it's gonna hurt your life. Oh, God always telling me what to do. Wouldn't it be weird? God's always telling me what to do. No, he's keeping us from the pitfalls in life. And we said, oh, God, it's so burdensome trying to live for Jesus. Can you imagine God said, go ahead then, buddy. I think God does sometimes. He said, how many times I would have, what did he say? I'm not sure exactly, but shelter you under my wings. He said, but ye would not. You would not. So number two, they are the path to a rich and stable life. I'm talking about God's commands are the path to a rich and stable life. Look, like a loving father, Solomon is persuading his son rather than merely commanding him to do it. You're going to do this. Now, you know, we could tell our kids, you're going to do this. And I think there's times we do that. Don't misunderstand. I think we should. I think we should command our children. You know, we talk about drug babies, right? We drag our babies into church, you know, like this. It's a little bit of a joke, but I think it's a little bit of a joke. But sir, we ought to make them follow that. But this thing of giving your heart, in reality, we cannot command someone to keep the law and commandments in the heart. We can make our children do the right things. If you don't, you're going to get a spanking. If you don't, there's some discipline. If you don't, you're going to lose some opportunity, right? Yeah, okay. How many were raised like that? Yeah, some of y'all were like, yeah, right, okay, amen. So if you don't do the right thing, by the way, the right thing meant the word of God, truth, right? And so, yeah, that works, but that doesn't, you ever seen a kid do that and still have a rebellious look? They did the right thing, but they look like they're mad about it? We cannot command the heart. And so we can't instruct that way. So Solomon is persuading his son rather than just commanding him. But here's the, and I said this already, but I got it written down, got it out of order. We can and should teach them to follow, but the heart is a choice. Okay? B, three blessings are found in this path of God's way. You say, you should have proofread. I did so many times, but still. Okay, number one. Length of days. Good job. Okay. Generally speaking, let me say this. Generally speaking, number one, A under that, God's wisdom protects us from many of the destructive choices that shorten life. Okay. Generally speaking, this isn't a promise. These are proverbs, right? But generally speaking, God's wisdom is going to protect us from a lot of the things that are going to destroy and hurt our life, right? This is the kind of things that are destructive and hurt us. God isn't directing us into that, right? Second thing, long life, okay? Now, this speaks not merely of surviving many years, but of enjoying the kind of life God intended. Okay, see the difference? Length of days was talking about just the length of how many days you're going to have. But this long life, it speaks of the kind of life. So, B, a long life filled with sin is not necessarily a blessing. You ever seen people that are living in their latter days and they are living under the consequences of the sin they live? It's not a pleasant life. A lot of people live an old, grumpy, miserable life. They live it out. They're back here. And it's almost like it's not a blessing. Man, because you ever just wake up in the morning and you're hurt? Yeah. So you think, man, I am so glad. You know, I can't imagine you get older and older and older, which happens. That's how it works. You get down there and you're like, man, I am glad. And I've talked to people. My wife's grandmother, she's like, why won't God just let me go home? There's sometimes we get in that kind of situation, right? But this thing is talking about the kind of life. What Solomon is encouraging his son with is that a life lived for the Lord is a wonderfully long life. Man, it's just a joy to have that kind of life. And I've seen people that live deep in those years, and they are maybe feeble and pain and all this, but they're still a joy, right? And so there's a difference with that. And that's the blessing that he says when the word of God directs our life. So number three, it is a life filled with peace. Peace. This is the Hebrew word shalom, right? So, A, it is much broader than the absence of conflict. Much broader. It's like, man, peace doesn't just mean they're not having bombs coming into them, which, yeah. A lot of times when we pray for the peace of Israel, that's what people think. We're just praying that there's no more war. Shalom is much more than that. B, it speaks of wholeness, stability. Stability is the blank there. Well-being and completeness. You see, it is the peaceful life that functions according to God's design. So when a Jewish person, Hebrew would say shalom, they're saying that your life would be full of blessings and wholeness and peace and well-being. It's a whole thing. Not just hope you got nobody fighting you today. It just means that whole kind of that it's just an embodiment of all those things. But it's really the peaceful life that only comes, it functions, it's a life that functions according to God's design. See, this is a general principle of God's design, okay? Proverbs presents God's ordinary pattern of dealing with men. And that's what we find. It's his ordinary pattern. Obviously, there's times when there's exceptions. Number one, righteous people may suffer. Okay? As Job clearly demonstrates. Right? Remember him? Okay. Yeah. It's like, I think this is a two-part lesson. So I'm like, man, how much more did I give you? We're almost there. We're going to be good. Amen. Number two, but the safest and most satisfying path through life is still the path of obedience to God. So look here. Look. I did everything God wanted, and I still had sorrow. Job could say that. And he does say that quite a bit. He does say that quite a bit. But he is an anomaly. And sometimes God uses our life for that in that way to see that. But what we're talking about here is the normal pattern that God deals with people. The normal pattern is when we let his word direct us, listen, we will have a length of days, right? It'll keep us from a lot of the garbage that'll kill us, right? But then there'll also be the long life. Maybe I got that the other way around. The long life that we enjoy it. I mean that there's a kind of joy in life that comes with that. That's, man, there is a difference when you're living for the Lord and when you're not. It's not just a little thing, right? I don't mean you don't get tired. I get tired. Right? Y'all probably notice when I get tired more than I notice when I get tired. I'm my family. You're tired. No, I'm fine. Quit asking me. You know, it's kind of, you know, tired. I'm not saying, but that normal pattern, and it brings the peace of God that comes on our life. That's, you know, it's that the shelter in the time of the storm, when whatever's going on around it, I'm like, even so, come Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter either way. Right? And there's an opportunity. Listen, this is what Solomon is trying to get across to his son. He said, if you live it, man, I'm telling you, it's going to get so exciting. We're going to talk about next week, not next week, 2 weeks. We're going to talk about the next part of this. We're going to cover really a big part of this chapter, probably a lot more next week, next time. Let's follow that. Let's seek the Lord in that way of seeking what it is. It's a choice. It's a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me, my house will serve the Lord. It's a choice. It's a choice. Father, I do pray that you would, Lord, would you help us? Would you, Lord, bring these things really to our remembrance? And then, Lord, even, Lord, that we might make the choice ahead of time that I am going to let your word be the director of my life. And then, Lord, when these occasions come, that we might think about and be drawn into returning to our own way. Lord, you'd help us to not forsake you, Lord, that we would, but rather that we would let your word have its way in our life. Lord, pray that you'd bless now and this week, the rest of this week, and the events and the opportunities that are ahead of us. And Lord, pray that you'd help us to keep our eyes on you, and Lord, that you'd shelter us, Lord. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just want to remind you, next Sunday, we're going to have the this coming Sunday. And so what that means is, what? We get another card, and we're going to get some signatures. And so we're going to be, I was just talking to Brother John today, we actually only have, I think, did I say two? Two or three of our missionaries that we haven't had here in the last, since the last couple years. So we're going to work on them, getting them in here. Three. That's right. It was three. James Ree, the Sullivans, and the Bible College. And so the Bible College is just a little flight away, so we can get them up here. And so, amen. Praise the Lord. See you on Sunday.